Welcome to Revealing Jesus. Are you hungry to learn more about our beautiful Savior Jesus? I am your host, Christina Pereira, lover of Jesus, apostolic leader, licensed and ordained minister, author, podcaster, and kingdom party planner. Did you know that the Bible declares that grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus? And that simply means the more we learn about our beautiful Savior, the more we will experience all He died to give us. Join me for all things the King and His Kingdom, including revelatory teaching, interviews with fivefold ministers, media leaders, authors, and more. Come discover the beauty of God displayed all across the body of Christ. Together, we are revealing more of Jesus to a hurting world today. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. I am your host, Christina, and I'm so excited to have you with me here today. I hope and I pray that you are doing well right where you are and enjoying the continuously flowing favor of grace pouring from our beautiful Savior and Father in heaven. I've got a great show for you today. I have an amazing friend with me back on the podcast. He's been on this podcast a couple of times. We just get along so well. He loves the Holy Spirit. He is the host of Adventures in the Spirit, and he is the founder of Fireborn Ministries. Please help me welcome back Jared Lasky. Jared, welcome back.
Well, thank you so very much, Christina. It's an honor. It's a pleasure, as always, to be on Revealing Jesus and to reveal Jesus to your audience, your listeners, your viewers, see where the Holy Spirit takes us. But quick question. What is a kingdom party planner? I saw that on your intro. What is a kingdom party planner?
So it was so interesting because the Holy Spirit actually told me to say that. And so I have a huge evangelistic heart. And the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one person repents and turns to Jesus and accepts him as their Savior. And so, you know, when I first started out in ministry, we would plan gospel events, I would call them. And so we would do events like the King's Table and cookouts for Christ. And we would share testimonies and we would invite people in. And it was a really, really fun season. It was a hard season, but it was really fun. It's something I still love to do, but you know, there's times and seasons where God shifts us into new things. And but yes, I am a kingdom party planner.
I love it. Well, as the scripture says that the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner repents and turns to the Lord Christ Jesus. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit there, but that is a kingdom party. So I love it. So awesome.
I know. Isn't that funny? I love the Holy Spirit. He's always got, he's always very witty and very funny and very joyful. I know. Isn't it amazing? So, you know, you've been doing Adventures in the Spirit for a long time. And, you know, I've been doing Revealing Jesus now for 4 years. And, you know, we've been coming into this season, you know, a lot of us pioneers, you know, and I believe you're one of them. The Lord had us doing some things like kingdom party planning and revealing Jesus and adventures in the Spirit. But what is the Lord putting on your heart to do new in this season?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm going to take it next level.
So, okay.
this is secret between you and me and your audience.
Well, you know that we're all connected here, right? So yeah. It's no longer a secret here.
But I think people could see the direction that I want to take it in the direction I want to go. I want to step into more media, TV broadcasting. And so I think Adventures in the Spirit will step into that. Now, I'm not sure if it will be the podcast form or format, but that's real easy. Like even if I change the show and everything about it, because Christina, Christian TV needs to change. Okay. And I've been to a YWAM Youth with the Mission film school a few years ago and learned a lot in those 3 months about videography, about film, editing, screenplay, all that, and seeing the keys to keep people's attention. And God bless all those programs out there. I got friends who've got TV shows. I've been on studios and stuff like that. And, you know, promoting, you know, you got to promote your books. You got to promote your brand. You got to promote Jesus Christ above all. But for me, for Adventures in the Spirit, I want to take it into a type of a TV show interview with some other shots and some travels and stuff like that. So I know that you were, is this a secret for your audience? Are we spilling secrets right now? You were interviewed by the 700 Club, CBN.
Yes.
Amen. So, you know, I want something kind of similar to that programming. And I was a student at Regent, so I've seen, you know, been acquainted with some of the programming that they have there. They're reaching hundreds of millions of people for Jesus under the late, great Pat Robertson's vision. So God bless his ministry and the legacy he has left behind. But I've seen some of the keys. And so I want to step into something new and a show that is different than the rest, and but is still servant-hearted, that is still focused on the Holy Spirit, but also the prophetic. But Christina, we need a reformation in the prophetic right now.
Yeah, I know.
You and I have had conversations on the phone. I want the pure prophecy. I want the pure that points to Jesus. I've seen too many people repost prophetic words and act as if it's their own word, not give credit where credit is due. Now, as a seminary student, as a college student, we know we need footnotes for all our sources. For some reason in the prophetic community, people are not citing their sources, right? They're trying to take things on their own. They're not saying, oh, they're like, hey, this is my word, or they're regurgitating something else that they've heard rather than getting a fresh word from the presence of God themselves. But then there's some wacky things promoted as doctrine, as practice right now that I'm like confused about. We just had this amazing comment that showed up, you know, for like a week, right? That you could look off in the horizon for, see it better through your camera phone and stuff. But we got a perfect view of it out here. Christians weren't going wacky about this. Compared to what, 6-7 months ago, they're going wacky about this moon thing. And then there's moon, and there was another eclipse, and there's going to be 200, 300 some odd more eclipses in the next 10 years. But for some reason, people on TikTok, these people who don't have the accountability, they don't have the relationships, they're just throwing it out there on TikTok, making people think that it's the end of the world, that Jesus is coming, that the rapture is going to happen right after this thing. But notice how they're silent now, but nobody is correcting the prophetic in those circles. Now, maybe in other circles. I'm just like, you know what? Things have got to change. And I see too much of it pointing to people rather than to Christ himself. And so I kind of just want to switch things back into more of an evangelistic thing. I just want to win souls for Jesus.
Amen.
So win souls for Jesus through the programming. I just want to focus on that. And sure, people receive baptism of the Holy Spirit, healings through those programs. But there has to be a shift, because I think too many prophetic ministries are pulling people to themselves a little too much, rather than and just gaining followers. And it's like, you know, are you following that person, that brand, that personality, or do you want to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
So I'll get off my soapbox right now. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It's good. It was stirring some stuff in me. And, you know, it's so interesting, because I feel like if we're spilling secrets right now, you know, this whole way that we're doing Revealing Jesus now, you saw my new intro video. This is new. And I feel like he's moving me into that part of it as well. And I'm so excited. And, you know, Jared, I think it's amazing to see our generation taking up the torches of media ministry and using it to reach people for Jesus. And I agree, so many things have to change. You know, I was on Instagram the other day, and I saw somebody posting a dream they had about Christians being in hell. And I was like, oh my gosh. You know, I was like, Lord, this is just, I can imagine the fear that it imparted to some believers out there. And Jesus wants us to live with a confident expectation of salvation. It's based on Christ alone and what he's done and the finished work. And, you know, I am all for holiness, but the most holy people are the people who are devoted to Jesus. You know, I was walking with the Lord yesterday, And he said to me, I've got a lot of followers, but I don't have a lot of devoted ones. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. And Jared, what we were talking about was this plague of Bible illiteracy, yeah, that people are so illiterate in what the Word of God says that they see something like that on TikTok, on Instagram, and they can't discern whether this is really God, you know, or it's the enemy. And if you are Bible illiterate, you cannot discern what a true prophetic word means, because the true prophetic will point to Jesus. The Holy Spirit always declares what Jesus has done for us and what he's purchased for us and who we are now in him. And so the Bible actually says that the work of the Holy Spirit is three things. One, he comes to convict the world of the sin of not believing in Jesus, of rejecting him, right? We all were under that category when we first became believers, right? We were convicted to the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, okay? Number two, as a believer, the role of the Holy Spirit is to convict believers of righteousness, yep, and what God has done for us. The Holy Spirit takes everything that Jesus has and has done and makes it known to us. And number three, the Holy Spirit convicts the enemy that he has been judged and his time is short.
That's right.
And so if we are not Bible literate, when we see these things come across our feeds, it can cause fear. It can cause so many different things. It can cause people to question their salvation. You know, I believe that Jesus is coming. Don't get me wrong. I believe he's coming, but my eyes are not focused on the moons. My eyes are focused on the people who are going to get left behind if they don't hear the truth and the revelation of Jesus and become devoted followers of Christ. So, you know, I feel like as New Covenant believers, that's where we need to focus. Our eyes shouldn't be on the signs coming in the heavens. We know, lift up our eyes, our redemption is drawing near. Our eyes need to be focused on the Great Commission and the people that God has placed in front of us. Time is short. Time is short.
Yeah, well, I'm in wholehearted agreement with you. It's the unfortunate thing is people are pulling people to themselves. And a lot of what I've seen is some of the biggest voices that last a few months know how to market. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with anointing. It has nothing to do with character. And you're right about biblical illiteracy. It's rampant. And I mean, I'm a theologian. I've got some degrees in this, and I don't want to, you know, I've got them hanging up on my wall, right? Like three of them. Okay. But I need to get in the Word every single day, and Christians need to get in the Word every single day rather than relying on someone else's opinion. Or, oh man, should I even step here? This is kind of heavy. We need to hear the voice of God for ourselves every day, mm-hmm, between us and him, but not everything, probably 95-96% of what he tells you is between you and him. Yeah. Even if he's giving you insight into the future, okay? Do you really have to post it? And then when it actually happens, do you really have to say, hey, I posted this back then, look at me? Mm-hmm. Do we really have to announce it with trumpets?
Yeah.
No, we don't. You know, like, people will know the genuine from the real. I've had prophets tell me before, Jared, you know, you don't need titles. You don't need any of that. Just people will know. People will know. And it's like, mm-hmm, conversations. Okay. Like, you and I could talk about Jesus, talk about Holy Spirit all day long, signs and wonders, you know, our love for Christ Jesus all day. We could share stories about what Jesus did, you know, but you and I both know that we don't have to walk in with our credentials, with our titles.
Yeah.
People will automatically start talking about things. It's an invitation. The Holy Spirit's moving on them and inviting us to partner with what he's doing in their life, whether it's for them to come to Christ, whether it's for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether it's an answer to some question about apologetics in the scripture, or maybe they're talking about dreams. Like, just people naturally talk about their dream. I had this dream last night. And then I'm like, well, Jesus, you know, is the interpreter. God interprets mm-hmm. dreams. And so I have them share it. And then God interprets the dream through me, as we see in the scripture. You know, some people like, I interpret, I this, I that. Well, it's Jesus through you. That's that. I just want to point to him. But people just naturally do this rather than us tooting our own horn. Or unfortunately, people throw people under the bus all the time, you know? And then there's this competition, unhealthy competition that I don't work with the drama. I don't deal with the drama. There's still that it's fallible people, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but I think with, you know, people, there's people that want the pure, but then there's also the people that too far on the judgment side of the house. How many times have they tried to say that this judgment is going to be here now? And I've been through, like, I don't know, 40 of them in the last 40 years.
Yeah. Well, and the truth is it goes back to spending time with Jesus. It goes back to spending time in the Word. And so if you actually read when Jesus came, when he officially began his ministry, he actually opened the scroll and he read from Isaiah. And Jesus actually read this portion of scripture. He didn't read the entire passage from Isaiah because it wasn't time for the entire passage from Isaiah. So what Jesus read is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the way down Isaiah. I don't have it in front of me right now. But Isaiah 61, yes. But he specifically stopped right before.
My bad. Isaiah 53, 62, somewhere. Hold on. Someone correct me.
I'm getting my Bible.
Here I am. I'm a theologian. I'm like, oh, I'm getting the reference wrong.
Hold on.
But you're on a roll. So, don't stop, Christina.
No. So listen. So he specifically stopped right before that portion in Isaiah came to, and the day of judgment of our God. He stopped right after the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. And right now, my friends, in the new covenant, right now in the church age, we are living in the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. And what that means is the free flowing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is reigning right now. There will come a day when it is time for the rest of that prophecy to be fulfilled, and the day of judgment of our Lord will come. But notice the heart of God. And so specifically, Isaiah states the acceptable year of the Lord's favor and the day of judgment of our God. A year is much, much longer than a day. And so if you look at those two contrasts, you can see that the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ is for mercy, for goodness, for salvation, for healing, deliverance, everything he came and died to give us. You see, he wants us living in those things, living in the year of his favor. But make no mistake, those who choose not to live in his favor and accept his salvation, there will be coming a day of judgment where all of these things will happen. And you see, God in his mercy, he's giving us this church age, this year of his acceptable favor, to tell people about the goodness of God, the favor of God, the grace of God before the day of judgment comes, because God in his mercy sent his son to receive the judgment that was due to you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And those who accept his sacrifice and say, Lord, thank you for being my savior. Thank you. Thank you so much. We will not be here on the day of judgment, because we will be with the Lord and his favor and his goodness and his kindness and his mercy. You know, the Bible says that it will take an eternity for God to show us the mercy, the grace, and the kindness that he has towards us in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And that's the truth. And that's what we need to proclaim while we still have the chance.
Yeah. And for the Christian, you'd mentioned how some people are fear, you know, Christians in hell, that
yes. term.
Christians fear not, because yeah. of what Christ Jesus has done for us, as he took all the judgment on himself. He took the wrath of God upon himself. He became sin for us. He imputed righteousness into us. And when it comes to the great white throne judgment, the end of the end, where everything is unveiled, Christians are rewarded.
Yes.
Non-believers are judged. Christians are rewarded. Now, there are things that we did in our body. Yes, our whole life is going to be unveiled before Christ Jesus, but I think it's going to be more of what lessons did you learn? Okay. Mm-hmm. What did you learn? And then did you have Christ Jesus? So when he sees, when he unveils all those things, he's seeing Christ in us, the hope of glory. So Christians are rewarded. We don't have to fear. Now, there are things in this life that happen. There are health things, there's emergencies, there's all kinds of things in this life. But Christina, mm-hmm. I had a near-death experience, what, a year and a half ago. And what I saw, what I experienced was the most sublime peace in the midst of the pain that took place. And the cloud of witnesses and the realities of you know, I didn't see into heaven, but the cloud of witnesses that were there with me in that situation, there was still the most peace. I was describing it to my wife. I was like, it was, you know, what I'd felt was the deepest peace I've ever felt in my life. Now, another time that I'd felt similar peace was going to Mother Teresa's tomb in Calcutta, you know, where it was the most peaceful place and her quotes were on the wall. But that peace is the shalom of Christ Jesus. So Christians have that peace. And so I just want to like share the hope of Christ Jesus and let Christians know, hey, fear not now. Mm-hmm. You're going to be rewarded. You will enter into heaven, but it's not about getting us dying and going to heaven. It's about bringing heaven to earth. Heaven will combine heaven, that plane of reality, that existence, the heavenly abode of God is brought to this earth as this earth is renewed. When I was younger, I thought it was going to be like nuclear war, this planet, boom, you know, like Star Wars, the whole planet explodes, but it's not. This earth is renewed like gold refined in a fire. Mm-hmm. Its impurities are taken out and it's renewed, made new, restored to the original God's intention from the Garden of Eden worldwide. So that shows me even now our task is to bring heaven to earth and heaven into us, because Christ Jesus is in our hearts, in our spirits are saved. And then we are the carriers of the Ark of the Covenant. We are the carriers of the presence everywhere we go, and we bring heaven to earth, which is why we need to see healing signs, wonders, miracles everywhere we go, salvations everywhere we go. But that's not the focus. The focus, as your podcast's name, is to reveal Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So good. And you know, what's so interesting, what's coming up in my heart right now is that the majority of Jesus's ministry, 2/3 of his ministry, the Bible says he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so, you know, what causes repentance? What causes people to change their mind about God? It's God's goodness, God's favor, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's undeserved healing, God's undeserved deliverance. And we have to get back to preaching the new covenant of grace, because it's the grace of God that we will sing forever, for all eternity. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. It's the covenant of grace engraved on the hands of Jesus Christ that stand. It's the open hand of grace nailed that stands for all eternity. And that's what we worship, the Lamb of God in the midst of the throne who was slain. And oh my goodness, where are the preachers and the teachers proclaiming this? Where are they? I'm one, but I know of a few other voices, but the Bible says that in the last days, yes, there will be signs and wonders, but it will also be filled with the glory of the knowledge of the Son of God. Oh my gosh. Oh, can you imagine, Jared? You know, I've been preaching about this revival of God's goodness, of God's mercy, God's glory, God's all of these beautiful things for 4 years, Jared. And I'm telling you, earlier this year, this wave of God's goodness that I'd only seen in the spirit is crashing. Every time I close my eyes, it's upon me. Every time. And he is wanting to be good to people while he still can. He is wanting to snatch people from the fire while he still can. And you see, as the prophetic, we should be pointing to him, because the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. Yep. The Holy Spirit never comes to glorify a man or a woman. He only comes to glorify Jesus. And so when we preach and we teach about Jesus, the Holy Spirit loves to just invade the space so that he's testifying, he's witnessing that this person is truly a servant of God. And that's how we can discern the pure prophetic from the mixture, from the judgment.
Yeah.
He's lighting me up today.
Man, well, you mentioned grace, and I'd heard it said that grace, and this is like a deep theological, profound term, that grace is getting what you don't deserve.
Oh, 100%.
But I think that's in part, I don't think that that's the full thing, because when we're outside of Christ, we receive his grace. We don't deserve it, but we receive his grace. But now in Christ, he's given us more than we deserve. He's given us the riches, the treasures, the profound intimacy with Christ Jesus. So now that we're in Christ, yes, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, right? We are saved by grace. But now in Christ, because it's Christ in us, we deserve. We were given the abundance of heaven. And then mercy is not getting what you deserve, right? We need the grace, we need the mercy, right? So we've done horrible things, horrible sins, but now, you know, we deserved a punishment. But because of Christ Jesus, he gave us grace, he gave us mercy. And then that overflow from him flows out of us. And everywhere we go, we pour out his grace, we pour out his mercy, and people start coming up to us and asking us questions and sharing their dreams and asking questions like, what is this hope in you? What do I see in you? You know, like for me, there are people that I could look in their eyes, and I learned this in India when I was 18 years old. Look into people's eyes, you could see what their faith is. You could see whose they are and who they are. You see Christ in them, the hope of glory. And then everywhere we go, the abundance, the overflow pours out of us, and people start flocking to it. And we, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine for coffee this morning. And so I'm on my second cup, but I was talking to my friend for coffee today. And it's just like, you know, yeah, I want revival. I want awakening. I want it all, but it has to flow out of the churches. It has to flow out of the four walls. Now, church buildings are only a 2,000-year-old concept. Mm-hmm. Revival and awakening is taking place everywhere we go. It takes place in our homes, okay, with our kids, with our family. That's the first place it's supposed to take place, is in our homes, in our abode. But then it flows out in the grocery stores. It flows out when we're driving, okay? You know, because there's been so – we were talking about from the conversation about – how churches had revival, but the neighbors just thought it was a bunch of people parking there. Mm. It's revival. It should flow out to the neighbors.
Yes.
It should flow out to your Jerusalem, Acts 1:8, your Jerusalem. It should flow out to your Judea. It should flow out to your Samaria. It should flow out to the ends of the earth. And that's one of the things, like for me, it's like, I'm here in Arizona. I need something that reaches my Jerusalem. Mm. Right now I'm reaching the Judea and Samaria. I'm reaching the outermost parts of the earth. But what am I doing locally? So that's also another thing that I'm strategizing about. But that's revival and awakening needs to flow out everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. And as I said, you know, hopefully I'm not messing people's theology up. Go to church, okay? Go to church. Go to the one that your family loves, enjoys, and that Jesus is glorified, that preaches the Bible, that stands on the word of God, the truth of God. But also be prepared if there is no church walls. Be prepared, because there are millions of Christians in other countries still meeting in caves, still sneaking around to go pray together for 5 hours a day before they go to work, still being persecuted. Mm-hmm. And we've got it easy here. and we promote revival, and you and I do conferences, we do seminars, we do webinars, we do all that. But I'm very careful with the word revival. It's like, okay, is this a one-day revival, or is this a Jesus revival that's going to change and transform lives and grow and, you know, just explode and expand and, you know, be a sovereign move of God. I don't want to put my stamp of approval on what God has already put his stamp of approval on.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's so interesting. I think the true mark of living in revival is often, are we stewarding that personal revival for us? I know for me, when the Spirit of God showed up in my bedroom, it lit my life on fire, and he's never left. And I just want to say this, is that we are designed to live in that constant flowing grace. And Jared, I prefer to look at the new covenant like this. It's all grace. It's all grace. Yes, I was saved by grace, but guess what, Jared? I'm healed by grace. Yeah. Guess what? I have favor because of grace. Yeah. Guess what? I have deliverance because of grace. Guess what? Everything I touch prospers because of grace, because it was not of my own doing. I deserved none of it, and yet I got all of it because of the doing of one, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's great. And so that's how I prefer to look at it. And you know, that's a safe place. That's a safe place. Understanding that makes you safe for promotion, because you know what? When God puts you in front of those people, you know that you don't deserve to be there, Jared, but he has put you there because he has so favored you, because you've so looked to him and not yourself, you know? And it's now him that's flowing through you, because when we look to him, he's flowing. And he makes us radiant. And you're right. People look at us and they're like, oh my gosh, you're glowing from the inside out. Well, guess what? That's because it's Jesus, you know, and it's no longer us. And, you know, the more that we live in that personal revival, stretching ourselves out across that altar every day, we're his devoted ones. You know, the Lord said to me yesterday, there's a difference in following and being devoted. Devoted stretches out across the altar, even when it's not going well. Devoted stretches out and bows down when they persecute you. Devoted stretches out when he says go and you don't want to go, and you don't understand how you're going to go or what you're going to do or what you're going to say. Devoted goes anyway. And that's the difference between being a devoted follower of Jesus and simply someone who was following an Instagram profile because it spoke of a word that tickled their ears and they thought sounded good in the moment, but they had no substance of the word of God to understand that what these people were saying was erroneous.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah. It's the fruit too. The fruit, you know, is there good fruit? Is this glorifying Christ Jesus? Is this revealing the character and nature and will and word of God? Like, I've got some acronym out there about the W's, you know, the word, the will, the ways of God. Is this revealing? Is this revealing Jesus? And some of it right now isn't, but Jesus, have your way.
Yeah, that's all I can say. You know, I've been asking so many questions. You know, we've got some people who need some prayer. And so I see his name is Stephen. Let's pray for Stephen, Jared, before we go. And then if you would pray for all the people who are going to listen to this later, let's pray for Stephen and then let's close it out, okay?
Stephen. I don't think I've personally met Stephen before. But Holy Spirit, touch Stephen right now in Jesus' name. We agree with him.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, heal his lungs from asthmatic COPD and the right knee pain in Jesus' name. You love Stephen. Mm-hmm. So may your healing virtue pour into Stephen, Lord. We command his body. Our bodies were made from the dust of the earth. And we could command the earth. We have dominion over the earth. So we command knee pain gone in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
May Stephen also breathe the breath of life. We pray against this asthmatic COPD in Jesus' name. pour out your spirit upon Stephen. May he breathe the new breath of life. You breathed into Adam's nostrils in the Garden of Eden. Breathe into Stephen's nostrils. May it flow into his lungs. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And now I even pray just for like a new lungs, okay? New lungs.
Yeah.
New lungs in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
So by faith, we appropriate that. So give him new lungs.
Yeah.
Command him healed and whole in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Yeah. Father, I just see your healing anointing flowing right now. And Father, I just release it into Stephen. Father, I command even the tissue in his lungs to just be rejuvenated now in Jesus' name. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
And I speak a shalom peace to his immune system. Father, I thank you that it will no longer attack erroneous substances. Father, I thank you for a shalom peace. And if there are any issues that have created this, any stress, any emotional things, God, that have created this, I command healing to his soul now in Jesus' name. Yeah.
And what I'm seeing right now in the spirit is a DNA structure. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, if there's any missing, mm-hmm. I don't know what to call them, but anything missing in that DNA molecule, yes, in that DNA structure, we command all those synapses, all that stuff. And Jesus, you know the scientific terms. I don't. We command the healing and the DNA, anything, yes, that was inherited, you know, in Jesus' name, we command it gone in Jesus' name. So bring healing to the DNA, yeah, structure. And I also, you know, I've seen this before, that in our DNA structure is the name of Yahweh.
Yes.
Personal name of Christ. So, you know, Stephen, you knew him before the foundation of the earth. So bring forth healing in that DNA. We claim the DNA for Jesus, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And God, I just thank you for just awakening those dead parts of his lungs. Ooh. Yeah, Father, I thank you for just deep breaths, just awakening the tissue.
Thank you, Lord.
To breathe deep, Yahweh. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I'd like to say, if you don't mind, Christina, I'd like to say, if anybody doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, call out to him personally, mm-hmm, right now. Say, Jesus, you're Lord. Turn, yes, away from your sins. Tell them that you're sorry. Tell them to repent of your sins and commit yourself wholeheartedly to Christ Jesus and start, wow, talking to him. You confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. You are saved, mm-hmm, you are secure. You're safe, yes, in him. And then ask for Holy Spirit to fill you up and give you more and more of Christ Jesus, to reveal the word of Christ Jesus to you, to plug you into a great community of believers, and to have as much of the Holy Spirit in your life as possible in Jesus' name. Whether you're watching this from, I know David Raj from India, talked to him quite a few times. So if you're watching this from India, I don't know, Brazil, whatever other places are you listening into this on the audio podcast platform of Revealing Jesus, give your life to Jesus, mm-hmm, or also ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up and reveal Christ to you.
Amen. So good. So good, my friend. Thank you so much for being here with me today. This was so fun.
I was about to say fun too. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
It's always fun when we get together and we have spirit-filled friends, because it's like we have this communion together, this deep connection, even though I haven't known you very long and we've maybe only had 5 conversations, but That's the beauty of the kingdom and the beauty of Christ within you, Christ within me, and the Holy Spirit around us. So,
we should do a conference, Revealing Jesus Holy Spirit Fest or something. I don't know.
I love it. I'm down for it. I'm down for it. And healing too, because I feel like we need that. Yeah.
Of course.
healing prophetic, revealing Jesus Holy Spirit.
And miracles. Discernment.
Yes. Yeah, and discernment. Yeah. And Bible
and
literacy.
Signs and wonders.
I have no idea what I'm going to call this episode. just putting that out there.
Just shooting the breeze with Jared and Christina.
So good. Well, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. I will have links from today's show notes where you can connect with us and our special guest, Jared Lasky of Adventures in the Spirit. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless. I sincerely hope and pray today's episode has blessed you. Now it's your turn to continue the conversation. We are all evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like this episode, rate it, share it with a friend. If it's impacted your life, let them know that you want it to do the same in theirs. Help spread the word of the good news of Jesus. Subscribe to the mailing list and get episodes, articles, downloads, and more sent right to you. Link in show notes or just text Jesus to 1-833-815-7778. Again, that's Jesus, 1-833-815-7778. We would love to connect with you on social media. You can find us at Christina Pereira Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.